Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. It's a list that begins with Babe Ruth. It includes Wade Boggs, Roger Clemens, Johnny Damon, among others, and now the latest, Jacoby Ellsbury. And you know what we're talking about. The fleet-footed former Red Sox center fielder is now a Yankee.
Just a couple of months ago, he was in a duck boat celebrating a World Series victory in Boston, but now he's headed to New York. And honestly, who can blame him? Except for everybody, but who can blame him, really? Because the Yankees offered the talented outfielder $153 million over 7 years.
Joining us now for our weekly sports segment is Only a Game's Bill Littlefield. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how's it going, Anthony?
Good. Good to see you. Also with us is our baseball expert and Radio Boston regular, Glenn Stout. He's the author of Fenway 1912. And Glenn, good to have you back.
Thanks very much.
So quick reactions from both of you. Bill, I'll start with you. Hardly a surprise. We knew Ellsbury was probably on the way out, and yet, he's going to the Yankees.
I don't worry about it anymore. They broke my heart in 1978 when Louis Tiant went to the Yankees, and it's all been, I've been numb ever since. I didn't lay a glove on me this time.
Glenn, what's your quick reaction here?
Well, I kind of agree that it was no big surprise. I mean, everyone knew that Ellsbury was unlikely to sign in Boston. He'd never seemed particularly happy here. He was happy to win, but he never really warmed up to the city and didn't seem to warm up to his teammates too much. So it's no big surprise that he's leaving. And when free agents leave, where do they tend to go? New York. So no big surprise there, but it'll take some getting used to, I think, for most Red Sox fans.
Okay, but I have to ask, because obviously, yes, the Yankees have a ton of money in the bank, but the Sox aren't the poorest team in the world. They've got, what, the second or third highest payroll? Did they even try to keep Ellsbury, or if they didn't, why not, Bill?
It's always a complicated calculation for any general manager. With the Yankees and Red Sox, a little bit less so because they have a great deal of money to work with. But any team is looking at their payroll. They're looking at who else is available. They're looking, as Glenn suggested, at clubhouse chemistry. They're looking at whether this player really wants to be here for an extended contract or whether they might get something better a year or two down the line. It's more complicated than fans are likely to have the leisure to understand.
Glenn, I'm sure.
And there's one factor, too, that I think the Yankees have to sign a new cable deal with Time Warner Cable in another month. They needed some excitement. They'll probably earn back the money they just spent on Ellsbury with the extra money they'll get out of Time Warner.
Glenn, you know, we had been hearing that the Yankees wanted to reduce their payroll, especially after the A-Rod fiasco. Then they pay big money for catcher Brian McCann, now Ellsbury. Were they bluffing?
Well, they may be bluffing, but they still have about $35 million to play with before they get over that threshold where they then have to start paying a penalty. So it sort of remains to be seen if they'll go over or how much they'll go over. And let's not forget, these are the Yankees. It really doesn't matter to them whether they pay a $30 million fine for being over or a $50 million fine for being over the limit. It doesn't really matter to them because they're just measuring it in one thing, whether they win a championship or not. And the money, it might as well be Monopoly money for them. They have as much as they need.
Well, Bill, so about A-Rod, I think he's sort of a cautionary tale here because he was signed to a huge contract by the Yankees, but that didn't work out so well. Could something, not that I would wish this upon them, but could something similar happen with Ellsbury?
Yeah, does anybody remember how close we came to having Alex Rodriguez in Boston? It was a near thing, right, Glenn? And fortunately, we sidestepped that one. What?
There's a collective memory haze that takes over now.
That's right, exactly. You're right, Meghna. Cautionary tale is precisely the right phrase. These guys are human beings. We lose sight of the fact when the dollar signs, you know, get so big and the number of zeros starts to multiply. We lose sight of the fact that they're human beings and they can have injuries. They can have, bouts of stupidity. that sort of thing is likely to happen with this species.
So, Glenn, look forward for us really quickly. Without Ellsbury in center, does that mean that Jackie Bradley Jr. is ready to play center field, or do the Sox go after Carlos Beltran? What do you see happening?
He may be ready to play center field. I kind of doubt if we're going to find out right away. I wouldn't be surprised if the Red Sox do add another outfielder, and there's always the potential that on a stopgap measure they could shift Victorino over there for a while. So, you know, they have options. I don't think they need to rush in to do anything. There's still a long time to go between now and opening day. You never know what's going to happen, who's going to become available as players sign and things get shuffled around. And, oh, by the way, the Yankees have an extra center fielder now, and Brett Gardner, maybe they'll go get him.
Well, Glenn Stout, baseball writer and author of Fenway 1912, The Birth of a Ballpark, A Championship Season, and Fenway's Remarkable First Year. Glenn, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
And Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Great to have you, as always, Bill.
My pleasure. Thank you, Meghna.